gloomier economic forecast. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. The International Monetary Fund is slightly downgrading its outlook for the world's economic recovery from the coronavirus pandemic. It predicts 6% growth in the United States, down from 7% in the last forecast. The decrease is due to the number of COVID-19 cases still being high, supply shortages, and rising inflation because of that.
Here at the White House, they've had a supply chain task force going for several months, and one of this task force's big ideas about fixing things is the same idea that they had to try to restart the economy months ago. Just get more people COVID shots. This task force is saying we are in a stronger position than March 2020, but it requires continued vigilance. If we can stabilize the pandemic, it will have a positive impact on the global supply chain, including factories and production.
Fox's Peter Ducey. President Biden's met remotely today with leaders of the G20 group of nations to talk about Afghanistan. The White House in a statement says they reaffirmed their commitment to provide humanitarian assistance directly to the Afghan people and to promote human rights there. The FBI bomb squad checked out a suspicious package in the Pentagon parking lot this morning, finding something with wires and a light. They hit it with a water cannon and say there's no more threat. It's not clear if it was actually a bomb. A National Football League head coach is out of a job over personal emails.
John Gruden formally announced his resignation as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders shortly after a bombshell New York Times report featuring vulgar emails from Gruden over the past decade, featuring derogatory remarks regarding NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, female officials, and gay athletes, just to name a few. Gruden adding in his statement, quote, "I love the Raiders and do not want to be a distraction. Thank you to all the players, coaches, staff, and fans of Raider Nation. I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone."
Fox's Matt Napolitano. The Supreme Court leaves a federal ban on cockfighting in Puerto Rico in place, also turning away a challenge to a law in Washington state allowing unions to obtain contact information for in-home healthcare workers to ask them to join. America's listening to Fox News.
COVID is spiking again, and it's just not clear how to keep your family safe. Fever is the leading symptom of COVID, and the only way to reliably detect it is with an accurate thermometer. Be vigilant and be accurate with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, whose accuracy has been proven in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They are proven to be inaccurate and will not reliably detect a fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Here's a fact. COVID hospitalizations of young people have tripled since the start of summer. Also a fact, vaccines are highly effective in preventing hospitalizations and deaths, even from the Delta variant. If you've got questions about COVID vaccines, talk to a doctor, because our kids are irreplaceable. We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
.10:03 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. 78, it's mostly sunny. A jury seated Monday in the case of a Milton man charged with trying to stab a police officer. Bradley Hobbs, accused of stealing a woman's truck and leading a Milton police officer on a chase in November of 2019. Police say Hobbs crashed near Whiting Field, then approached an officer with a knife and was shot. Opening statements are set for Thursday morning. There won't be any discussion about a feasibility study for a city-owned power utility this week. An add-on proposed by Councilwoman Jennifer Breyer did not get enough votes to make it on the agenda. The city's apparently not had a current power franchise agreement for 12 years, and they're now negotiating with Gulf Power and FPL.
Whether or not we do one thing or the other, we're happy to stop all negotiations, but this does not need to be an add-on item. I mean, if you're a substantial of this point, then we simply say we stop all negotiations. It has been going on for 12 years, as the councilwoman says. There is nothing that says we imminently have to do this.
Mayor Grover Robinson says they can take the time now to have the discussion. Breyer says there's been a recent push from Gulf Power to get a new document signed quickly. A company can claim victory in a legal battle over trash pickup in Santa Rosa County. A judge has granted Waste Pro's temporary injunction against Adams Sanitation. The move blocks Adams from picking up trash in South Santa Rosa County starting Monday. That's when Waste Pro will take over. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Sunny skies, temperatures warming near 84 degrees for that high. Overnight tonight, nice clear skies, low near 69. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
78 in Pensacola, it's 80 in Gulf Breeze, 68 in Milton at 10:05. Our next news at 10:30 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
You are listening to Winning with Mainstay. The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Mainstay Financial Services, with host Bob Burgie.
Good morning, Jenna Barr. How
Good
are you?
Good morning. Money, money, money. I'm ready.
That's right. That's right. Everybody's ready for that, right?
I feel like we should have one of those dollar bill guns in here while that plays. Is that okay? Can
I think
we get
we
one of those
be,
in the budget?
I think we ought to be in a big tube where the money flies around,
like,
and we've
got
to grab
cheese.
It the whole time during the show.
Yes, I'll wear my boots.
Is that a Chuck E. Cheese?
Yes.
They have that? Okay.
I think you grab coins or something.
I don't go there. I don't want to go there.
We'll catch like Impetigo or something.
I have three grandchildren, and I am not taking them there. Okay.
Let me tell you.
Sorry, Chuck E. Cheese.
No, don't apologize. It's like the scariest looking mascot ever, and kids yet beg to go there. That is a waste of your money. Jot that down in your portfolio.
Oh, gosh. We're making friends left and right already.
We are.
All right. So let's start. I met a friend of yours yesterday,
yes.
An avid listener. Mm-hmm. Her name is Lisa. She lives in Navarre, and she adores you, okay? So she gave me this book. What's it called? I already gave it to you.
So, oh my goodness, I'm going to tear up. It's so beautiful. I love things like this.
Yes,
first
very
of all,
nostalgic.
Very nostalgic, very personal, and it's the cover. So this is published by Pensacola News Journal. It's called Reflections, Faces of the Pensacola Bay Area.
Yes.
This is volume one, and I cannot wait.
It is a nice, hardbound, coffee table book that everybody will just get lost in, you know?
I cannot wait. This is going to be... Lisa, thank you so much. I haven't seen you in so long, too. It's funny. She's a listener, and we've met. We've crossed paths.
Yes.
And such a kind soul, so giving and kind to our community, so loving and generous. And just thank you so much for listening and supporting me and Bob and just being a part of our community. And thank you for this. My children will also be so excited to go through.
Yes. And you know what? It just goes with you so well, Jenna, because you're such, you know, you are an old soul. You're young, but you're an old soul. And all of these historic, I don't know, it means a lot to me because I'm not from here. I'm not from Pensacola.
But you
so
can
I
appreciate
don't,
this
yes,
area so
yes,
much.
So I went through it, and I may need to borrow it for my coffee table.
Yes.
You know, sometime during the holidays, you know.
These are the kind of things where, you know, we've talked before about what to do with your money, what not to do, and minimizing. This is a piece of history that you can have at your fingertips, and you're not going on the phone or on the computer to look at it. It's right here, and it comes from our PNJ, too. So
yes.
It is a part of history.
So
news
I
journals,
know,
radio, it's a part of history.
Right. So she, I met her. She is awesome. She is everything as advertised. And what's interesting about her is, you know, the animals.
Yes.
Okay? The
her
ponies,
animals.
The goats. Chickens, what am I missing? Pigs, you know, everything.
Pigs,
anyway,
yes.
Lisa, thank you so much. I am so blessed to have made your acquaintance, and I look forward to seeing you again. And thanks so much from Jenna.
Yes,
for the nice coffee table book. It's awesome.
Yes, thank you so much. And please, you know, Lisa's texting us right now, and I would love to hear from all of you. It's been a really busy morning, Bob, and we still want to hear from y'all. Hop on into the conversation. Comment on what we're talking about. I'm going to help out Bob this morning, 850-437-1620, or you can call.
Right. All right, Lisa, give us a call if you like. Again, thanks. We're moving on. All right, today, Jenna. Talking about the things that a professional investment advisor and fiduciary does for you. That's a mouthful, okay?
Yeah.
So all the things that, you know, someone like myself or your investment advisor, your professional fiduciary investment advisor does for you. And I thought what I'd do is we'd just go through a few of these things and then take some calls and or text as they come in. But, you know, first and foremost, you know, what a professional investment advisor and fiduciary does for you. He or she cares deeply about your money and does a lot of work on the front end to assess your needs, your goals, your objectives, and possibly identify things that you've never thought about. And, you know, this is not just, hey, you're coming in, let's meet, and I need you to bring all your statements, your tax returns, all your financials. It's not that. There's a lot of qualitative things. And I've come across articles recently, Jenna, that are very interesting. There's so much qualitative analysis in what we do. You know, what are your hopes, your dreams? What are your wants? Not mm-hmm. just your needs. What are your wants? You know, other qualitative things like health, family. Yeah. How's everybody doing? Is anybody dependent on you? There are so many things. Is everybody that you're leaving money to equipped to handle that money? Or do you need to set something up for their benefit that's more long-term? But anyway, on the front end, caring and conducting a very holistic needs assessment and identifying goals, objectives, and wants going forward. So
how does one choose a caring fiduciary who's actually going to do that for you?
I always share this with folks that talk to us or come in that are, you know, possibly prospective clients. Go interview, you know, some other investment advisors and fiduciaries mm-hmm. and, you know, get in front of them and, you know, see if there's a fit.
So shop around.
Yeah, you kind of get that feeling. You know, you get that feeling when you know it's right. And I like to think that folks come in our office and then they can go to other offices and then you sit back and you make a decision, right? But you go shopping. You go shopping.
Yeah.
And
or dating. It's kind of like dating. Speed dating your fiduciaries.
Yeah, you know, hey, there's an idea.
Actually, okay, so I...
Line them up at a restaurant, a safe place, right?
A safe place, yes. Yeah. You know what? The Elks Lodge could probably set something up like that.
The Elks Lodge?
Yeah, they could set something up like that and do like a speed dating fiduciary night and see if you choose the right one.
Do you know...
I don't have one yet, so that's what I'm telling you, is that's why I'm asking. And I always tell people I am learning along the way with everyone here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm not the expert. I'm your friend, and I'm here to help with the questions. But as somebody who's moving up in the 30s and getting closer, I'm thinking more and more, not about retirement, because I probably will never retire.
Yeah.
But
same here.
About how to truly take care of your money and not just give it over to somebody who will invest in the wrong things.
Right. Okay. You just said something. Why will you never retire?
Because I love living too
much.
That's
right. And you love
I love being around people. Yes.
You love what you do. And so do I. It's such a blessing.
Yes, that's true. Do something you love.
Right. Okay. Now, sometimes you say things and I don't know where they come from, okay? But guess where Connie and I were this past Sunday?
Oh, tell me.
The Elks Lodge.
Stop yourself.
We were at the Elks Lodge out at Pensacola Beach. Yes, we were.
That is too funny.
I have a friend.
Were you speed dating?
I'm not a member. I'm not a member of the lodge.
Oh, you just got invited. Okay.
But I was invited and had a very nice time. I have several friends that are members.
It's beautiful there. I've been to events.
Yes. Yes.
It's not your run-of-the-mill Elks Lodge.
No, it's not. This is the Taj Mahal of all Elks Lodges. Sorry, other Elks Lodges.
That's right.
But they've got it going on out at Pensacola Beach.
You better step it up.
All right. We just plugged them. That kind of makes up for the Chuck E. Cheese dish, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. I like that.
We're even.
So we're choosing a trustworthy fiduciary,
right.
somebody who
cares
about your money,
right.
about you, more than just your money, about you too.
Yeah. And we'll identify areas in your financial life, things that are quantitative and qualitative. Your fiduciary will formalize your goals and objectives and put them in writing. That's very important. You don't just identify them, thanks for coming, and send them on their way. You identify them and formalize them in writing, and you go from there. But, you know, one of the things we do, and I learned this, of course, from Anna Lee, is we accumulate so much information, and we feed it into our own software. We use, and I hope I can, you know, it's called Retirement Analyzer. And, you know, some people might say, well, look, I'm already retired. I don't need this. No, you need this. It's not anticipating Retirement Analyzer. It is Retirement Analyzer. If you no longer work or if you're anticipating no longer working, it makes sense. But it feeds everything in there, Jenna, and shows you pro formas going out to, you know, 80, 90, 100 years old. And it's very eye-opening. Now, one of the things that we get a little pushback on from our clients, but we always get a thank you at the end, is we have them do a budget. Has anybody ever asked you to do a budget, Jenna?
Are you kidding me? I'm married. I'm asked every day.
Okay, yeah. You need to account for that, right?
Hey, I'm actually a pretty, you know,
I know
savvy
you are.
Spender.
I know you are. We've
you
talked.
You see my boots?
Well, yes. Yeah. Nice boots. Nice boots. They look like roller skate boots with no wheels. But
hey,
anyway.
But talking about just the budget, I was going to say too, somebody who is helping you in your finances, they should also be pointing out areas where you need to be better in your budget.
Right.
Right?
That's right. That's right.
I feel like we skip over that. We're like, oh, happy, put it in investments. And
right. So let me share this with you and, of course, our listeners. When you come in, okay, we ask for a lot of information. Part of doing the budget is having you come to this realization of where you're spending money. Do you know it? Whenever we have somebody do this, at the end, they'll say, I am so happy you forced me to do that because I really didn't know where the money was going. And one of the things that keeps coming up is, you know, we pay a lot of insurance and we don't question it. Okay. I'm talking about homeowners, automobile. We pay a lot of bills that we don't question. And a lot of them are just automated, right? They just come right out of your account and they like it that way because you don't question it. So one of the things that I come across a lot is when somebody's doing their budget, what do you think the biggest recurring bill is, monthly bill, typically? For the average American, how's that? Or average Pensacolan?
Your mortgage?
Mortgage, right. Okay, outside the mortgage.
Oh.
And that's, you know, that's a loan. Okay, but I'm talking
outside
about
loans,
a bill that you get for something you're using, you know.
Oh, like electricity?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Most people say that's my biggest bill, electricity. Now, this is going to shock you, but I would say over 50% of the people that we have prepare these budgets, their Gulf Power bill is not their biggest bill. Their biggest bill is their cell phone bill.
Ooh.
And
yeah.
And a lot of times it's not even close. They'll spend, you know, I don't know, $150-$200 on their Gulf Power bill. They will have a cell phone bill, you know, with Verizon, AT&T, whoever it is. And that bill is several hundreds. I've seen it as high as $500-$600 because they still have their kids on it or have other people on the plan. You're getting there, Jenna. Okay, as your kids get older.
Yes, my kids' birthday's today.
Yeah.
No, they grow up.
Yeah. Okay. So the cell phone bill is a big bill for many people. A lot of times, Gulf Power, you know, the electric bill doesn't make it into number two. Guess what is the second biggest bill? You're going to get this.
Oh, boy.
Cable internet.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
but
they've got
that,
the Mac
so
Daddy.
I don't.
A lot of people don't anymore, but I'll tell you what. You know, you people your age, You know, you know another way.
They're obsessed. Yes.
You've got another way to get, you know, you stream
they
and you do everything
phones.
Else.
That's right. Why their phone bill is so high.
Exactly. But take people that are my vintage, okay? Late 50s, early 60s, go into 70s, and they're still getting the, you know, the Cinemax, the, what are the other ones? HBO,
I don't even know anymore.
And then there's all different
the
iterations of
yes,
HBO. And,
right.
And they're paying several hundred dollars a month, and they don't need to. Okay. All right. You prepare a budget, and that way you know where your money is going. And that's a great exercise. It helps identify ways to save. Okay, another thing a fiduciary and your professional investment advisor does for you, he or she helps you prioritize your financial opportunities. And, you know, that's something that a lot of us, you know, it's not just about investing money in the stock market, in mutual funds, in possibly annuities or insurance products or anything else, you know, traditional investments. It's investing in your home, your homestead. You know, some people like the idea of investing in real estate, mm-hmm. rental properties, or possibly fix and flips, you know, and that's fine too. It's all part of your overall portfolio. But there are, of course, other financial opportunities other than investing in the stock market, in mutual funds.
Somebody just texted in.
Yes, ma'am.
Is it a good idea to invest in cryptocurrency?
Of course. Of course we're going to get that.
I know.
Is it a good idea? So far, it's been a great idea.
Right.
Okay? If you cash out today. It's been a great idea. Cryptocurrency has done exceedingly well. Okay. Now remember this. And I think it's really important that this person identified it as a currency. If you look up some of these cryptocurrencies, and whether it's Bitcoin, Ethereum, Dogecoin, you know, there's a bunch of them out there, right? They have
right.
no fundamentals. There's no earnings. There's no revenues, earnings, expenses, anything like that. It is a currency. It's a form of currency. So you are investing in a currency, not a company. So keep that in mind. Do we recommend it? I would say we're a little ambivalent about it.
Okay.
But we understand that a lot of people have made money on it. And I think, you know, maybe if I was one of those people, I would consider taking my gains.
Okay.
And finding something else. How's that? Okay.
Yes.
Enough on cryptocurrency.
And hey, please ask
no more cryptocurrency calls.
No. He's cutting you off. 850-437-1620. Please text or you can call with your questions.
All right. So we talked about establishing a budget, okay? What's the reverse of establishing a budget? It's putting money away, right? It's if you're not spending it, you're saving it. And that's a great thing. I have a friend who's in this business. He has decided that I'm not going to have people prepare a budget. And a lot of times people know exactly what they spend. They say, you know, plug in $4,000 a month. That's what I spend. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people need to go through the exercise to get to where they need to be. So I have a friend that's in the business, and what he does is he will identify what they need to save for retirement. And I don't know if you've ever seen the commercial where they ask everyone, how much do you think you need for retirement based on your age and, you know, your standard of living? And they walk with a ribbon so far. I think it's actually a Fidelity Investments commercial. It's a great commercial. But if you know what you need, or if you have an idea what you need, and the whole point of the commercial is they don't walk far enough mm-hmm. with the ribbon. But if you know what you need to save, then you know you will get to that place in retirement where you have enough. The whole point of that is there's more than one way to skin a cat. You can either identify your budget or what you need to save to get to retirement. And if you can continue to spend what you're spending and save enough for retirement, then that's okay.
Right.
Not everybody needs a budget or needs to live by a budget because they're doing well enough that they're saving enough money that they're going to have a very very nice retirement. Okay. A professional investment advisor or fiduciary also suggests creative alternatives that you may not have considered. Some of these creative alternatives, or what I would call strategies or possibly solutions, are doing Roth conversions during your lifetime, which is prepaying the income tax liability on a traditional IRA so that you or your beneficiaries will never have to pay taxes on that money again. That's what a Roth conversion accomplishes. Also, things like when to take Social Security. Social Security can be taken, Jenna, as you know, at 62. It can be taken at 62, 63, 64, all the way up to age 70. But it makes a difference when you take it, depending on what your needs are, your marital status, who made more money. There are other variables in there, but when to take Social Security is a big one, because you do have a choice. It can be anywhere between age 62 and age 70. When to turn on your IRA distributions. Jenna, we've gone through this, the milestone ages, of course. 59 and a half is the earliest you can take distributions from your IRA without penalty, but you have to start taking those distributions at age 72. And as you remember, that used to be 70 and a half, but 72 is the new 70 and a half. That's when you are required to take distributions from your traditional IRA or beneficiary IRA if you've inherited from somebody. But the other thing about beneficiary IRAs, you must take all of the money out within 10 years, whether that's a traditional IRA, a Roth IRA. If you inherit an IRA, you must take it out before 10 years elapses from the date of death of who you inherited it from, okay? So it's age 72 for your own, and within 10 years for an inherited or beneficiary IRA. So anyway, those are strategies strategies and alternatives that you can implement with the advice or recommendations of your professional investment advisor or fiduciary. Insurance. We can talk about insurance. And most people, when they think about insurance, they think of life insurance, automobile insurance, homeowners insurance. And in this instance, we're talking specifically about life insurance. Life insurance can be used as a way to create liquidity for an event in the future. A lot of people secure life insurance for, let's say they have a big mortgage and they're married. And if the primary breadwinner or one of the two breadwinners passes away, then you have life insurance proceeds that will pay off the mortgage. Well, that's why a lot of people carry term life insurance, you know, for 20 years. Hey, I've got 20 years left on my mortgage, and, you know, I want to pay off the mortgage if my spouse dies, right?
I didn't know that.
Oh, sure. Also, it's a liquidity event for, you know, let's say somebody dies and you want to purchase a piece of family property, mm-hmm. Okay? I have seen this. This sounds a little difficult to swallow, but
yeah. You
know, your parents have a farm or sure. A piece of property, a hunting camp, or let's say a property on a piece of water that you always went to, and you and your siblings, there's let's say a couple siblings,
mm-hmm.
and there's a life insurance policy on the folks. Okay.
Right.
The folks, when they pass away, if one of the children wants to purchase it from the other siblings, they can. It's a liquidity event. Life insurance proceeds come in, and you can pay it off. It's just,
I know some things, Bob.
It's an infusion of liquidity. Now, life insurance, to sit here and talk about life insurance and the different uses over the radio, exceedingly difficult, right?
Mm-hmm.
But life insurance can be a big part of one's financial plan. And again, I would say the liquidity event. And all that means is cash mm-hmm. coming into the estate, or cash coming into the hands of one of the beneficiaries so that you can purchase a piece of property or something else. Okay, Jenna, what we are going to do when we come back, going to cover a few more of the quantitative things like taxes, investments, investor assessments, risk assessments. But that's after Mark and the news. Take it away, Mark Jacobs.
A traffic stop leads to an arrest and a seized rifle. The story after Fox.
We could learn shortly how Gabby Petito was killed, with the Wyoming coroner in a few hours set to announce autopsy results.
Gabby Petito's remains were found near the Grand Teton National Park on September 19th in Jackson, Wyoming. On the 21st, the FBI released a statement on Twitter saying the Teton County coroner, Dr. Brent Blue's initial determination for the manner of death is homicide. In addition to cause of death, we should hear information like the toxicology reports, if there was evidence of a struggle.
Fox's Laura Engel. And the couple accused of selling nuclear secrets could face life in prison.
Jonathan Tebbe was a nuclear engineer at Naval Reactors here in Arlington, Virginia, not far from the Pentagon. Officials say his wife, Diana, a teacher at a private school in Annapolis, helped plot the transfers of top secret information and served as a lookout for what spies call dead drops.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. America's listening to Fox News.
10:31 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. 79 and mostly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. A traffic stop leads to Escambia County deputies taking a rifle from a convicted felon. ECSO says deputies stopped a vehicle on Monday driven by 18-year-old Emmanuel Savage. During that stop, they found a Bushmaster AR-15-style rifle as well as ammunition of a different caliber. Savage is being held in the Escambia County Jail. Deputies looking for a man suspected of robbing a liquor store on Pine Forest Road. That happened last month. ECSO's released a photo of the man they're looking for. We've got it on our News Radio Facebook page. If you know who he is or where he is, contact ECSO or Crime Stoppers. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Sunny skies, temperatures warming near 84 degrees for that high. Overnight tonight, nice clear skies, low near 69. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
79 in Pensacola, 82 in Gulf Breeze, 79 in Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. DoorDash has started selling restaurant ads that appear atop the search results in its app as companies in the largely money-losing food delivery industry dive deeper into advertising to boost revenue. A company already let marketers pay to run ads offering free delivery or discounts as well as banner ads, but had not offered ads above its search results before it began testing the tool earlier this year. Noting that the increase in alternative lodging will be a permanent part of the travel landscape, Cowen has upgraded Airbnb shares to outperform, saying Wall Street is underestimating 2022 booking growth. Airbnb shares up nearly 5% on the news. Crude oil trading above $80 a barrel, which has triggered a big jump in the price of gasoline, with an national average at a seven-year high. And experts now project that unlike a typical fall in winter, some parts of the country could see the highest pump prices of the year in the coming weeks. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 19, the Nasdaq's down 13, the S&P 500 down a fraction. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that we can give our daughters everything they need to grow and learn. But not every child can focus on classes and play dates.
Nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. face hunger. That's one in six. School lunch might be their only meal each day. And it's heartbreaking to imagine any child going to bed hungry. We're dreaming of a perfect day when kids can smile, play, and just be kids without worrying about where their next meal will come from. Feeding America is working to make that perfect day a reality.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. That food is given to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about doing things that make an ordinary day extraordinary. Learning to play an instrument, building a sandcastle, hosting tea parties. Hunger should never be an obstacle to growing up.
You can help end childhood hunger in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
For Jenna to turn it down. No, we love that song. That's why the second half of the show is so much better.
It's so much fun. There's a shift in the atmosphere, and I love the message behind that song.
I do too. And that first verse or line, mm-hmm. "Wake up, kids, we got the dreamer's disease." Oh, I mean, that's a great disease
you feel
to
it
have
in the
to contract, right?
I do. I think I want to contract more of that disease.
The dreamer's disease. That's
right. I love
that.
That's really good.
But the name of the song is, of course, "You Get What You Give." And we were just talking about that on the break. And, we both have dreams, right?
We do.
And
I shared some dreams in the break with you.
Yes. Which, okay. We'll keep those.
One day, everybody will know.
But. You're a very giving person, Jenna, and that's what I love about you.
Thank you very much. And I love that you give so much information. The fact that you have a heart to, I'm over here, my pen's going to make smoke soon with all the notes I'm taking.
I got to stop taking notes over there. Okay, hopefully you listeners are doing the same thing. All right, let's go to the estate planning documents. And of course, we're talking about the things a professional investment advisor or fiduciary does for you. Estate planning. I'm going to quickly go over this. There are five estate planning documents that you typically hear about. Four of them are critical, okay? The four that are critical. Can you name one, Jenna? Putting you on the spot. Estate planning documents.
Estate planning documents.
Critical.
What? Your will?
Your last will.
Oh, the last will.
Testament.
I'm sorry. I was going to say something else, but I'm not going to tell you now.
Okay. No, I bet it's a good answer. Okay.
Somebody just texted in a question.
No,
so
fair. Okay.
I'm reading two different things.
Let me share with our listeners the four critical estate planning documents. Your last will and testament.
Yes.
Because guess what? It's not if you die. It's when you die. Mm-hmm. And the greatest thing that a last will and testament does, not only establishes your wishes and how you want your assets distributed, what are called the dispositive provisions of your will, but it puts somebody in charge. Mm-hmm. If you're in Florida, that person is called the personal representative. It deputizes them, and they can distribute the assets accordingly. The second, we'll quickly go through these. Durable power of attorney allows somebody to act on your behalf in all really financial matters, operational matters, if you cannot. A durable power of attorney is a terrific thing to have if that need arises. Because remember, Jenna, sometimes between now and when we die, we're not able to take care of everything ourselves, right?
Sure.
And we need somebody to step in and do that for us. An appointment of healthcare surrogate, which is also called a healthcare power of attorney, allows somebody to make healthcare decisions on your behalf if you cannot. And then the last one is the living will. Living will is a very boilerplate document. It just says, don't keep me alive if I'm not coming out of this vegetative state. And it allows you to expire. And the nice thing about that, it does not, you don't house that decision with a family member or a loved one, a spouse. That is your attending physician and usually one other physician. So your primary care physician and one other physician. The fifth document we won't go into too much is a trust. Do you need a trust? That depends on a couple of things. And you'll know that once you go visit your estate planning attorney. But we can certainly guide you through, the important parts of that. Yes, ma'am. Question.
Okay. So it goes back to a little bit of your investments. Are there different portfolios that you should just clump together as you get closer to your retirement age?
Oh, what a great question. There are definitely some portfolios that you should. I like that word clump. We usually say.
Okay, I guessed on that. Well, cause my
listener, thank you. Clump. Thank you for that question. You should consolidate or aggregate certain accounts, certain account types. For example, if you have with your employer a 401k, a 403b, a 401a, a 457b, you know, all the, you know, what we call the alphabet soup of retirement plans. If you have that, you should probably go ahead and roll that over into your own traditional IRA. Also, when you reach RMD age, what does RMD stand for? Required minimum distribution age. That's age 72. A calculation takes place that calculates that dollar amount that you must take out of the aggregate of your qualified plans, your retirement plans, and that includes IRAs, SEP IRAs, simples, 401ks, 403bs, 401as. So imagine clumping or consolidating all of these together when they're not consolidated and coming up with this calculation. What every vendor is going to do, or every custodian of each of one of those accounts, they're going to come up with their own amount and push that out to you. So as far as consolidating assets, clumping assets, as our listener asked, you should definitely consider consolidating IRA and qualified plan money. Other assets, non-qualified money, I don't know why you wouldn't, because you don't have a good idea what you have when you're just trying to keep up with accounts. You know, one other, you know, I think we all follow a story better than, you know, better than just delivering information. But I can't tell you how many times we've run into folks that come and see us, and over the span of their lifetime, they'll have, you know, I've seen as many as 40 different accounts, you know, where somebody worked as a contractor, and had, you know, a couple years at this place, a couple years at the next place, moved around, worked as a contractor for the government, and every time joined a qualified plan, and they will have as many as 40 accounts. To see somebody, you know, say my age, Jenna, you know, approaching 60 or 60, have 20 accounts, not unusual at all. So clumping, consolidating, always a good idea.
Okay. I like it. Clump, consolidate, same thing, right?
Did we have another question?
Okay, here's a question. How does one know what my asset allocation should be?
You know, that's something we're getting to, and we'll go ahead and answer that. First and foremost, you cannot identify what your asset allocation should be, and let's first define asset allocation. How much you should have in stocks,
right,
bonds, and cash. Mm-hmm. You know, let's say, how about equities, fixed income, and cash? So what your asset allocation, in more simple terms or general terms, how much of my money should I have at risk, and how much should I have managed very conservatively, not at risk, okay? There are a couple of ways of getting there. One of the things we do is we have all of our clients or prospective clients complete a 10-question multiple choice risk assessment. We call it our risk assessment questionnaire. They answer 10 questions, multiple choice, and it, within a margin of, you know, very few percents, will define what your risk tolerance is and what your investment objective should be. That's how we get to asset allocation.
Okay, so what's that called? Your risk tolerance?
We call it internally our risk assessment questionnaire.
Okay.
It's something proprietary that we have that, you know, I think, you know, some people way smarter than me have put together. And, you know, one of the very first question is, this is a pretty simple one. What is your age? Okay. the biggest driver of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and what leads to your ultimate asset allocation is your age. And that makes sense. So if somebody comes in and let's say they're 65 years old, Jenna, you know, of course they'll check that. But one of the things that going back, gosh, I've been in this business a long time, but going back 30 years, 20 years, even 10 years, and you've probably heard me say this, the first person to really articulate this, I think, was Sir John Bogle, who was the founder and CEO of Vanguard Funds, Vanguard Mutual Funds. And it's called the Rule of 100. You take somebody's age, you subtract that from 100, okay?
Sure.
That is the amount that should be at risk or in growth allocation, all right? So if you're 65 years old and you subtract 65 from 100, that leaves you with 35, okay? 35% of your assets should be in what we would call growth or what we would call at-risk assets. You've got to have that growth component. I don't care what age you are, okay? If it's 10%, 15%, 12%, you've got to have some growth. But for that 65-year-old, the 65-year-old and the inverse of 65 with 100 is 35. 35% of their assets should be in something, something risky, and the balance, 65%, should be in something safe or very conservative. So that is a starting point to asset allocation. Let me say one other thing to our to you and our listeners is we have folks that come in, they're 80 years old, and they will say, you know what? I don't need this money. I've got great income. I've got Social Security. I've got my, you know, my military pension or government pension or private company pension. I've got great cash flow. I'm never going to need this money. I've got a long-term care policy. I've got all these things. So I want this money managed not for me, but for my kids, or better yet, my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Because all my kids are doing well. The 80-year-old has 55, 60-year-old kids, right? And then they have grandchildren that they want to bypass their kids and leave it to. So possibly they want a very high risk tolerance and a very growth-oriented asset allocation instead of using their own.
Okay,
if that makes sense.
At what age do you do the risk assessment?
Every age.
The ages?
Every age. If you're 25 years old and you come in and you're going to do a risk assessment before we manage your money. And how can we prepare a proposal for you, prepare and present a proposal to you, an investment proposal, without knowing your risk tolerance? And it begins with your age.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
850-437-1620. What right now in this market and in this economy is the best thing to invest in? Oh, that's the first time we've ever gotten that question.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Man, I can see him sweating, you
yeah,
guys.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we look very closely at is sector rotation, style rotation, how different styles of investing have done well and how other styles have not done so well. So there are two basic styles of investing: growth and value. And for our listeners, Jenna, I am really putting you on the spot here. Can you name a growth company, something that has just been shot out of a cannon? Okay, I'll give you, let's say Amazon.
Oh, boy.
Google or yeah. Alphabet, Facebook, Tesla, all of these companies that have done just really, really well.
Growing
They're
companies,
growth
not just
companies
we like. Or
yeah,
dislike.
Hey.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you. Growth companies are companies that are growing.
Yeah.
They've got a hot product. They're in a hot industry, and they are growing. So guess what these companies are doing with their earnings? They're keeping their earnings. They're growing. They're reinvesting. They're, what did I hear? Tesla's moving, is building a few more plants. They're moving their company headquarters to Austin, and they are ramping up production. So Tesla is retaining their earnings. because they're growing. Other companies that have cash coming in, and they are mature companies in mature industries, like, let's say, the Southern Company, you know, or, you know, a utility company. There are other ones. Verizon has all this money coming in, and they've pretty much canvassed the country. So they pay a nice dividend. They are not growing so much. But there are two styles of investing, value and growth. Growth companies are the ones we just named.
Yeah.
Value companies, they still have high value, but they're not growing so much anymore. But they still have a lot of cash coming in, and they're paying. You can do one of two things with your earnings. You can reinvest them in the company, or you can pay it out to your shareholders in the form of a dividend. So, listener, here is the answer. I would take a close look at possibly rotating from growth to value, because growth has had a very, very nice run. We have three things going on in this economy right now. Three things that are going up. Inflation, mm-hmm. most likely interest rates, and most likely personal income taxes. Those three things are probably going up. Might be a good idea to possibly get out of more speculative investments, growth companies that trade at a very high price to earnings multiple, and rotate or shift some of that money into value companies that will not get hurt as badly. But read the question again. That's a tough question, but some of the things that we should be looking at as investors right now is style rotation and sector rotation. And sector rotation means getting, you know, moving from technology and, you know, some of the high flyers to maybe something a little more mundane, like banking or financial companies and utilities.
Mundane.
Yeah, not very exciting. But anyway, all right. We're going to keep going. We talked about the five estate planning documents. Four are critical, and of course, the advance directives always come in handy if the need arises. Those being the powers of attorney, appointment of healthcare surrogate, a living will, and really any estate planning document is important, especially the four of the five that I mentioned. All right. Your investment advisor and fiduciary will also identify opportunities to set up accounts for children. And we've heard of some of these 529 plans, you know, in the past Coverdell plans. The greatest gift you can give your working, not adult child, but let's say even a teenager, have them open a Roth IRA. Fund it for them. Fund it for them with a couple hundred bucks or whatever. You know, imagine doing that in your teenage years or even in your 20s or 30s, putting money in a Roth IRA and putting it into an account that you will never pay taxes on. You'll never pay taxes on the interest, the capital gains, the dividends, okay? And even one day when you pull the money out of that Roth IRA, you don't pay taxes then either. Mm-hmm. It is, as we say on this show, and I think a lot of other folks share this, it is the golden goose of all accounts. If you can get money and push money into a Roth IRA at an early age especially, you need to do that. In terms of what to contribute to, whether to contribute to a traditional retirement account versus a Roth depends solely on how much you are making. If you need the current income tax deduction, of course, a traditional contribution might be more valuable than a Roth contribution, but usually at an early age or when we're not making so much money, not paying a lot in taxes, a Roth IRA contribution is golden. We see that happening more and more. And again, you know, Roth IRAs didn't exist until about 20 years ago. So a lot of us, my age, we don't have as much. But I'll tell you what, the folks your age, Jenna, and teenagers, 20-year-olds now, everybody's going to have an enormous Roth IRA one day. Another thing we see more and more often, our clients are not so concerned about their children. Guess who they're concerned about? Their grandchildren.
Their grandkids, yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. We have lived in very good times. Most of our clients' children are doing really well. A lot of them I meet with say, oh, We don't care about them. They're doing better than us, you know, and we don't want to leave them anything. And guess what else? We've had that conversation. They don't want anything. So what happens is, as you have these, as you do multi-generational planning, you know, if you have three kids, the likelihood is you'll have more than three grandchildren. So the splintered interests divides the wealth, and you're not going to impact anybody's life as profoundly, but you might help somebody at a much earlier age. And that's why, you know, when people are in their 80s, you know, when people are in their 80s, their kids are thinking about retiring.
Yeah.
You know,
it's true.
And if they've made it and they know they're going to make it to the finish line, they're going to tell mom and dad, we don't want it. Leave it to my kids. Mm-hmm. Bypass us.
All right, great-grandchildren at that point.
There you go. I didn't even say great-grandchildren. But, yeah, you know, I've got three grandchildren. My oldest is four. And at age 60, you know, I'm almost guaranteed to have great-grandchildren, right? So not guaranteed, but there are no guarantees, right?
Right.
But
well,
but there, it's very likely.
Hopes.
It's
yes.
Very likely. And, yeah, I will say this on a personal note. The older I get and the more my kids figure things out and get on their way to doing well, I think more about the grandchildren than I do leaving anything to them. It's interesting.
Did you grow to love your grandchildren more than your children?
Oh, it's a different kind of love, Jenna.
I bet.
Anybody that has grandchildren, I mean, and my parents tried to describe this to me, you know, because I saw, you are not treating my kids the way you treated us. And, you know.
Right.
And it's just it's a different kind of love. And it's a license to spoil. When you're a grandparent, you don't care, you know. The pocketbook opens up, or, you know, the credit card comes out. You do anything you can for these grandchildren. And that wasn't the way it happened with the kids, right?
No.
How about this? There is no tough love with grandchildren. That's the responsibility of their parents.
That's right. Make them the bad guys.
That's right. That's right. Grandpa comes in and he's golden always.
That's
and
right.
Forever. So anyway, no, we appreciate all the calls. And again, we've got a couple minutes left on the show, so we're not going to encourage any other calls or text messages at this time. But if you want to come in, schedule an appointment, we'd be delighted to meet with you. Please call us at 850-437-3127. You'll talk to Hillary or Tina. They will schedule an appointment. And I have a feeling you'll be better for it. But again, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We've got a few more things we wanted to talk about. Let's jump to taxes. Taxes, as far as your investment advisor and fiduciary assisting you in this area, taxes boil down to four different areas. And there are many types of taxes, you know, but we're not getting into excise taxes, corporate income taxes, things like that. These are income taxes, okay? We all know what those are. Income taxes, everything that goes on your 1040. Investment taxes, okay? Investment type income or investment transactions that create taxes. These are capital gains, long-term, short-term capital gains. Dividends. We just talked about dividends the value versus growth styles of investing. Interest on, say, your fixed income portfolio, or, you know, your money market accounts, CDs. Those all generate interest. So there's investment taxes. There are income taxes. There are property taxes. We all know what those are. These are things that come into everything we do in preparing a financial plan, identifying investment objectives, identifying risk tolerance, and driving down to, you know, an asset allocation and a financial plan that fits your needs. Folks, thank you again for tuning in. Sorry for the rush at the end. We will talk to you next week. Jenna, thank you so much. Have a great week.
Yes, thank you, Bob, so much. It's been such a fun Tuesday morning. Join me back here tomorrow morning at 9. We've got a jam-packed Wednesday show for you. Always love our Wellness Wednesdays together. Have a great day. Enjoy the sunshine, and I'll talk to you then.
news, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
It's 11 o'clock.